from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
It's been the Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid show. I mean, it seems like every other day they're trading big play and big play. I think those two are the real deal.
Mike Danger.
Because you could look close to home here as to how the Bills built up around Josh Allen. I mean, year one, it was a bunch of slappies. When you recognize that he's your guy, and yeah, he makes mistakes, but we're going to see him through this. He's coachable, and he's going to be better.
Gene Battaglia.
I don't think there was an opportunity for Buffalo to do much when they drafted Josh Allen. We have to go back in time, like, hey, you made the postseason, but I still felt like we were getting pat on the head like we're the little brother. Like, oh, yeah, you're Buffalo. That's kind of cute.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We welcome you into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia as we are live from St. John Fisher University, Buffalo Bills training camp. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia, and right off the top, it's after hours with the guys from One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker joining the party. Hey, guys, thanks for making time for us. Really appreciate it.
Sure thing. I actually had a college TV show called After Hours. It's funny that you say that. We did it at Geneseo, me and a buddy of mine, and God, we talked about a lot of stupid stuff on that show, but that was the name of the show, After Hours.
Doesn't it feel like today the vibes are just immaculate here at St. John Fisher? The weather is perfect. Everybody seems like they're in a good... There's one day of camp left here. Even the players felt like they were a little bit less intense. The weather has that effect on them when they're out there, doesn't it?
You can speak to that.
Yeah, everything's better. You feel fresher. You stay prepared. You practice better.
You're not sweating as much.
Yeah, you practice better. You concentrate better. You work harder. Yeah, you're not trying to escape the heat between reps. You know, you're engaged more mentally. Yeah, it's everything's better when it's weather like this, because we've had some oppressively hot days over here.
Yeah, this is a welcome relief. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown, One Bills Live, giving us a few minutes. So this camp, as far as storylines, I don't know if there's anything that's juicy. And, Chris, I would imagine that's kind of what Sean McDermott would like here.
Yeah, no drama. Not that, I don't know, there haven't been a whole lot of drama in too many of the training camps. I mean, we've seen some spring things, you know, the whole Diggs things last spring and whatever. But, yeah, it's been, you know, we were talking about it on our show today. We keep hearing this word selfless from the players. We hear it from the coaches. We heard it from McDermott, who we had on the show today. And I think they genuinely feel that everybody's in it for everybody else. Nobody's in it for just themselves. And Steve talks about this all the time because, having played football, he understands the sacrifices that you got to make to be successful in this sport personally. So I think for some reason it seems like this particular collection of players on this roster this year embody that maybe better than any other iteration in the McDermott era. And what does that mean? I'm not saying they're going to go 17-0 or even 15-2, but I think there's a sense that when the stuff hits the fan and the going gets tough, these guys are going to take up for one another. And, you know, Steve talks about football being the ultimate team sport. And if you have that as part of your team makeup, I think it's going to help you get through some some difficult stretches, whether it's two losses in a row or a bad half where you can summon up and pull things together and pull out a game, maybe it manifests itself that way.
While we might not have any like real drama, there certainly is competition. And one of the areas of competition, I think, that has a lot of eyeballs on it, and not because of the lack of talent or play, it's just the injuries, it's safety. So Hamlin, having the experience that he has with Sean McDermott's defense, knowing that there's no Micah Hyde, there's no Jordan Poyer, you have Taylor Rapp, who's been kind of the constant out there in the defensive secondary. Is he ready for that increased role? Should they call on him? And what are your thoughts from what we saw out of Bishop earlier in camp? We haven't seen a lot of Mike Edwards.
Yeah, I think they have high hopes for Bishop, no question about it. But they certainly depend on DeMar. They've trusted him before to be on the field and carry the load. I think Taylor Rapp has been a really pleasant surprise for them. He's a different player than he was a year ago. Yes, last year he was kind of watching and learning. He got almost deferential to Hyde and Poyer. But with their absence and him can see the writing on the wall and look around the room, he said, listen, I gotta do this. He stepped right up, and he's talking to guys. I was telling Brownie today on our show that you see him and some other guys having side conversations on the field between plays about what just happened, what I was thinking about. You didn't always see that. You certainly didn't see it from Taylor Rapp last year.
Mm-hmm.
With Tre'Davious White and some of those other guys, the older guys around, they didn't do that too much. But, man, oh, man, he's got some side conversations going with these defensive backs. I think the communication's there. And I think Taylor Rapp, you know, if you want some reassurance, that guy's ready to play at least. I don't know about Cole Bishop, how fast he's going to acclimate. Mike Edwards, it shouldn't be a huge change for him to jump in and get acclimated.
Yeah, he's played in similar systems.
So those, you know, and we saw the same thing from the linebacker core last year. Don't forget Terrell Bernard after the sensational season he had last year. He didn't play at all in the preseason
right. Because
of an injury. So I'm kind of thinking Mike Edwards is going to be along that line. I don't know that Cole Bishop can make that claim.
Yeah, Steve, we're all looking at the pass rush too. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on Von Miller, because he's the one player that I don't know what to pencil him in for, and it's kind of hard to gauge here, but you would have a better understanding. Where do you think Von is?
Well, he's already had more stats this year in this training camp than he did all last year, right? Yeah. So he's gotten a couple of sacks, and he did it a couple of times on consecutive plays. I still think Von's got – I think it's obvious. He's got some gas in the tank. They're going to use that accordingly to get him to the finish line. They would probably like to use him, as Brownie says, the pass rush specialist in certain situations. I don't think he needs to go out there on first and 10 and set the edge. And I think the big question is, hopefully, that's all they need him for. They don't need him to go in and play, all right, listen, this is against this week 12 opponent. You got to play all four quarters and take every snap because we're injured. You know, hopefully Von can just do what he does, and they can get him through this season. I still think there's going to be moments when he shows up and makes plays, because that's who he's always been, and I think he'll continue to be that. But I think they're going to use him and keep him fresh, a lot of veteran rest days, and just dole out his football, what he has left in the tank, dole it out and use it when they need it.
That's why you have rotational guys right now like Dwan Smoot, I'm going to get that right, Casey Tuhill. These are guys that are edge setters in the run front. They're not going to have Von on the field for that stuff. So second and three, those guys are going to be on the field, not Von Miller. And, you know, you're going to look at the playtime participation after games on Mondays in the game book, and it's going to say 30 snaps for Von Miller. But they're going to be the right 30 snaps. And to Steve's point, you're going to get to week 17 and hopefully be getting the same production out of him, because you've only played him 30 snaps a game.
Chris Brown.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm the voice of the Buffalo Bills, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, joining us here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Brownie, I heard you this morning with Jeremy and Joe make a very bold statement about a former first-round pick on the defensive side of the ball. What did you say about Kaiir Elam? Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I said right now he's your defensive MVP of training camp. Nobody's made more plays than him. Nobody. He's leading the team in interceptions. He's got pass breakups left, right, and center almost every day, and he's looked good in the one-on-ones. He hasn't been perfect, but who's made more plays than him in training camp? I don't think anybody on the defensive side of the ball has. Can't hold it against him then. Call it what it is. I mean, he has been more consistent, I think, in this training camp than in the previous two he's had in a Bills uniform, and that's what they needed him to be. We all know he has an elite physical skill set. He is capable of the spectacular on the football field. You need a big play in a big spot, that guy's skill set can give it to you. What they needed from him is to just smooth out the valleys of his play, so he's not so up and down. You saw it in the Pittsburgh playoff game. He gets a pass interference that sets it up first and goal, and the next play he intercepts the ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
That was the roller coaster ride we were on with Kaiir Elam the first 2 years, and that scares the hell out of coaches because the number one thing coaches want is the ability to trust you on the field. So they need to know that they can live with his floor of play on the field. And then everything else you get after that is super spectacular stuff that maybe only 10 other corners in this league can provide from a physical skill set perspective. So as long as he can maintain that consistency of play that we've seen here in training camp through the preseason, he's really going to push for a starting role here. There are some people that don't think it's possible. Steve and I were on this train last year at the end of the season. Guy's got more interceptions in the playoffs than Tre'Davious White for this team.
Yeah.
And he's played in three playoff games.
Just begs the question, though. Was it something mental? What was it? Why the static start here?
I think there were some coaching preferences at play that stunted his growth. Those no longer exist here. And so, much like Sean McDermott said at the outset of camp about Kaiir, it is a clean slate for him to really go out there and excel. And I think the addition of cornerbacks coach Jamiah Ladai has done wonders for his game. He has instilled confidence in him, belief in him. As talented, and Steve can speak to this, as talented as players are in this league, and as ready as they are to play at the pro level, they need a support system. And when that support system is not there, and it wasn't for Kaiir, let's just be frank about it, it wasn't. It's hard to be the best version of yourself, and that's what he struggled with. I mean, he probably, I'm not going to speak for him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he felt like he had a coach who didn't believe in him because he was inactive every week last year.
How do you manage that and then moving forward, knowing that he looks like your best player at the position, but knowing you have two very capable guys in Benford and in Douglas?
Well, I mean, they all know. When you're playing on the team, you'll know who and why are playing, who and which guys should be playing and who is playing. Players are very sensitive to guys getting on the field who don't really need to be on the field. Very sensitive to that. And I think Kyer was a little bit of a victim of that in the past, of being a guy who could, might deserve more opportunities being given. But guys like, you know, Rasul Douglas is going to know. Christian Benford's going to know. I mean, they can watch film. They watch film together with the coach, and they're talking about each rep between each guy, what you did good, what you did bad. You get a guy like Rasul Douglas, who's, you know, is 30. He's going to be a 10-year vet. You know, he might be just fine with not taking every single snap, although, he's the kind of guy, kind of a veteran guy. If he gets beat out by a younger, faster, stronger player, he's also the kind of guy, because of his personality and the way his professionalism is, he can be ready when he gets called because he knows he's going to get on the field. I mean, you're not going to be the third corner coming off the bench on the outside and not get a rep. So he'll be ready when he's ready. And just like Kyer has shown some professionalism, staying, hanging in there, working hard, practicing hard. And we have never heard anything but about his work ethic and his positive attitude, even when he wasn't playing and being inactive every week.
Our office is at the end of the field house at One Bills Drive, and we have to walk into the field house and then out into the atrium of the field house to get to our studio to do our show every day. We walk out of our office, he's out there by himself catching balls off the jugs machine all the time. Like, by himself with, like, a ball boy, equipment guy, just feeding him balls in the jugs machine just over and over and over. And look, I'm sure there are a lot of guys that do that on extra time too, but we would routinely see him out there time and time again. And that's when he wasn't even playing or dressing for games. So the work ethic is there.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, we are after hours here in the sports bar. A lot coming up, which we'll tell you about in the show here today. Steve, the new kickoff rule, is this something you would have liked to play with?
I don't know yet. I saw the one in Chicago. I watched all of those kicks a couple of times. It's pretty intriguing. There's some stuff I would do different. There's some stuff about it that I would change about from the time when I played. It's the end of the kickoff that they've captured and kind of made it small.
They've magnified it, yeah.
Yeah, magnified it, and everything stops. They get you down there already. Everybody's down the field already, so there's none of this running start, getting down there as fast as you can, hanging the ball high. Nobody cares how high the kick is at all anymore. So they just kick it, watch, and then, you know, they take off. It lends me, it really intrigues me. What I know exactly what I would be trying to do as a special teams coach, and I don't know if it's even valid, but I know what I'd be trying to do. And I had one morning I came out here I had a separate conversation with literally six different people about the kickoff rule and what I thought and what I would do. I talked to Sean McDermott about it, talked to Matt Smiley about it, and like a handful of other guys. And we're all, you know, and the lack of knowledge that any of us have is stunning.
Yeah.
But that's everybody.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
Well, do you think that the lack of knowledge goes hand in hand with this being kind of like a trial run? It's only really this year. They haven't expanded
it beyond.
Rule.
Yeah. It's a one-year rule. You're right about that. The thing that shocked me was Matt Smiley, when he addressed the media last week, he essentially said, he was like, we're going to be seeing new stuff on this play all the way through to week 18. I was like, what? How many different ways are we drawing this up?
Yeah.
Like, but he thinks that it's just going to continue to morph and change. I think there'll be some people, because really what this is a race to crack the code. Who can gain an advantage on that play faster than everybody else? And then does everybody copy them, or do you play off of that and do something else?
Right.
And I think he feels like it's just going to be a cascade of innovation upon innovation until somebody really gets something that is virtually foolproof to be a productive play on kickoff, whether it's coverage or return.
Yeah, well, we're not going to see any of this in the preseason, or will we?
No, I don't think so.
I think you'll see some.
It'll be pretty vanilla, though.
Nobody's... I think you'll start to see some trends in relation to if they start getting nicked, for big returns, you'll see some stuff. You'll see some fangs come out then, you know, particularly on the coverage team. You'll see some stuff right away because they aren't going to put up with that. They're not going to, even in the preseason, they're going to do that. So you'll see some of that if you get one team that starts snapping off 35-yard returns on a regular basis. Then you'll see a reaction to that. I don't know that that'll happen, but that's the only way you're going to start seeing other teams unfurl their own stuff is if they start getting nicked.
I think something to keep an eye on, too, is the coverage team has to be evenly spaced across their opponent's 40-yard line on the kickoff, and obviously they can't move until the ball hits the ground or the returner catches it. They have to be two by two, two men outside the numbers, two men between the numbers and the hashes, two men between the center hashes, two men on the other side, et cetera, evenly spaced all the way across the formation. The guys on the return team don't have to do that. First of all, they only need seven maximum up on the 35. Two can be within the 30 to 35-yard zone, and they can line up anywhere they want. So now you can very easily create an overload situation on one side or another, and that has some special teams coordinators concerned about the coverage because they're spaced out and can't match the numbers maybe as quick as they would like, knowing they're coming from a static start to begin with.
Yeah, I'm thinking that.
So there'll be some games there, I think, in the early going.
Off the top of my head, though, when I hear that, I'm thinking that's it's a false fear because if you're overloaded on one side, you got guys that are going to be unblocked on the back, and that is not something you want, particularly in close quarters. My idea would be more like a man. It would be dropping back. I think it's what it's going to be. The really successful teams are the ones that are going to say, okay, we're going to do this. They're going to willingly drop back further, deeper into their own end as a return team on the front line. They're going to run back ahead of the coverage team a little deeper than we would all be comfortable doing in the old days. Mm. And that would, and wherever the ball lands, they're going to drop back to a certain distance from that ball, whatever that is, then engage. Because whenever you have seen in the history of the league, and when I played, then during the drought, and now in this modern age, the best returns happen when the timing of the returner hits the wedge behind the old wedge days, when you hit that at the right moment, just after engagement, and then you get the returner hitting it and coming up on it right after at that moment. If you can manufacture that moment the right way, which in this case it seems to me to be much easier to do because you can see where the ball is caught before you even move, and so you head there.
So it's a race to a spot.
It's a race to a spot, and you get to that spot, and if you can figure out by film study what the timing should be, you can hit that timing much easier and much more consistently.
Because you're covering less distance.
And let's face it, you're kicking it to the guys in the NFL. They're the best guys out there. Those guys are elite. They're gonna see the gap, hit the gap, gone.
Yeah.
So I think that's my take on it after one game.
Yeah.
After one game, my genius tells me, you know, I think that's what I would try next if I'm a special teams coordinator. Yeah. You got to see, if you see where the ball drops, tell your guys, and it'll be a whatever 7 yards from where the ball's touched or whatever that is. Or when the guy starts up the field, you got to get 7 yards ahead of where that is. You got to, that timing is what causes big returns. It was so hard to do because your guys are running 60 yards, and you got fat guys trying to group up. You got athletes running. You got some guys that are fast on the outside, some guys that are fast on the inside. They're closer. So all that timing was really hard to coordinate. They've done it for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real danger for teams that are kicking it.
Guys, wide receiver always gets a lot of attention at training camp. We love to see the battle. We love to see the competition. It's got extra emphasis on it this year because Stephon Diggs isn't here anymore, and everybody wants to know who's going to pick up for that production, and we've kind of heard throughout the course of camp a steady drumbeat of everybody's going to eat, everybody's going to get fed. Who's impressed you at wide receiver? How do you see this shaking out here? There's a lot of preseason football ahead that can make up some people's minds, but you know, and we've got some injuries that we're dealing with there as well.
I think Coleman's going to be a top three receiver on this team this year. I think we all knew his physical skill set was elite, but I think a lot of people, even now, still underestimate his football IQ. He is very, very advanced for a 21-year-old kid with his football brain, just in terms of recognizing coverage, understanding what the defensive back's trying to do to him, where that defensive back's help is, and then reacting with something from his skill set accordingly to make a play. He is way ahead of where 21-year-olds usually are, and because of that, I think he's going to be able to make an impact right away. And I would put him right behind Kincaid and Shakir as your number three. I think he's going to even do more than Samuel this year. Samuel is going to be a Swiss Army knife. I think he's going to do everything under the sun. You're going to see him lined up in the backfield. I think you'll see him lined up in the slot. You'll see him lined up outside. He'll be doing some of the Isaiah McKenzie stuff we've seen in recent years with jet sweeps and things of that nature. So he's going to be like a do-it-all, jack-of-all-trades type. And I think that's going to compromise his receiving production because he's going to be doing everything. And then I think Mac Hollins is going to be able to deliver a little bit more than people might anticipate. I realize that he's kind of had a star-crossed career and, you know, never really got on the field, buried on the depth chart in Miami. But when he got a chance to play consistently, he did that in Las Vegas. I had to hold on and remember if it was over in Las Vegas. When he did that in Las Vegas, he had like an 850-yard season, four or five touchdowns. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but I think 600-700 yards is realistic from him. And if he's in the red zone package, I mean, he is a fantastic target to throw to. You look at the catch radius of this receiving core now between Coleman, Hollins, Kincaid, Knox, Zach Davidson, if he makes a play for a roster spot at 6'7", 251. I mean, holy cow, that's a group.
You also have the guys that are smaller, shiftier, Shakir, the Samuels, yeah, the Hamlers, right? Like, there's, it feels like more so this year than any other year with wide receiver, you have two very specific body types and two very specific skill sets, but little variances between each one of those individual players.
Yeah, and I think you can further diversify that group by where Brady decides to line them up and how many he decides to put on the field. Like, between the 20s, you know, maybe he's putting Coleman in the slot all of a sudden. And he's got Shakir on the other side, and Kincaid's outside the numbers over here. And then you get in the red zone, and you go with your basketball team, and Shakir isn't even on the field. Because right, you're in tight space, and maybe it's harder to shake free. Just put the five trees out there and throw it 10 feet in the air.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
there are a lot of things that he can do to kind of morph and change the look of it.
Yeah, they've got some weapons in every for every situation. Now, certainly health is going to play a part in that, but Keon's seems like he's the real deal. He's a big, rangy athlete, goes up and gets it, playing with a lot of confidence out there as well. I think if a receiver is going to make this club, they're going to have to catch the ball a lot, and a lot of the ball's thrown to them. You know, we're still seeing a group of guys out there that struggle to catch it. I don't think that's going to fly. I think they saw enough of that with guys like Gabe Davis, who, you know, 52% catch rate. So he caught half
career.
The balls. Yeah, he caught half the balls you threw to him. Then you got a guy like Shakir, who was tops in the league.
86.5%.
Yeah, he catches 86 out of 100 catches, throws you make to him. So,
and Kincaid's right behind him.
That's the thing, yeah.
Look at the last three drafts and what the priority has been.
It's all their
ability to catch. High catch rate.
Yeah.
With all that in mind, I mean, when you bring in a veteran like MVS, you bring him in because he's got Super Bowl experience and he's a winner, but he's also got the knock on him has been as a pro is that, you know, he'll drop some balls, that he won't catch everything. What have you seen out of him so far at camp?
Not enough.
Yeah.
He's got a catch rate just like Gabe Davis, and I think he does less than Gabe Davis did as a receiver because at least Gabe can help you block in the run game.
Yeah. So
Valdez-Scantling's not doing that. You're not putting him out there to block in the run game. I haven't seen the consistency from him. I haven't seen a sense of urgency from him. Now, there's a little bit of a complicated situation there because he signed a one-year deal for $2.25 million, and it's fully guaranteed. Now, I believe Brandon Bean put some void years on the back end to spread that money out if he does not make the roster.
There's one void year on it, yep.
Yeah, so to me, he hasn't done enough. We haven't played a preseason game. A lot can change between now and then, but coming out of training camp, he's not on my 53-man roster for this team.
That's the same kind of thing. Claypool got caught up in a toe injury. He's been sitting down. But even so,
get on the field.
Can't make the club in the toe.
They won't. Yeah, they're not going to conjecture about a roster spot, you know.
Guys, last one, and it seems silly that we've gone this whole conversation without talking about Josh Allen. And Steve, my question about Josh Allen is about his leadership. We've always known he's been a leader, but now that you have this void with Morse and guys on the other side of the ball, what have you observed from Josh so far in that regard?
Yeah, he's it's his team, and he knows, and everybody knows, if they've got him taking snaps, they're a playoff team. I mean, that's just the way it is, and he is has been one of those guys. It has not he has not become like other great quarterbacks in other franchises we've seen, where you know they're gonna you know hold out before they come into play. They're gonna run the practice their way. No, he's a total team guy. I think I think what sets him apart and sets a lot of these guys apart is the fact that when they make a bad throw or do something bad, he says, "That's my bad. I got to do better. It's on me," and he means it. It's not just lip service. I saw him the other day when Isabella went down. He was ticked.
Yeah,
he was really mad.
Yeah,
and he said something. That's as mad as I've ever seen him.
Yep.
In a practice setting.
So, I think he realizes, and maybe you know, it's new for him. Hyde's gone. Mitch Morse is gone. Poyer's gone. Tre'Davious is gone. Tremaine Edmonds is gone. This is his team. There's just no other way to slice it.
He doesn't feel like he has to defer to anybody in the leadership category. Like maybe you have guys that have been in the league longer or have seen more, who are good players at their own positions respectively, and maybe Josh would try to defer and share the leadership role. I think he's totally comfortable owning the leadership role and being the alpha leader of the team.
Yeah.
Because of the changes that have happened and the veterans that are no longer here.
And I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know if he's, I just know, too, he's not going to be the kind of guy that uses it for his own benefit. You know, like if he wants a day off, he's going to take it. That kind of, it's not going to happen like that. I mean,
he's not going to Egypt?
He's self-accountable. He holds himself accountable. He allows the guys on the team, the lesser players, to hold him accountable.
Yeah.
He takes criticism. He lets them bust. You know, we've seen it. He takes a butt. His chops get busted as much as anybody, and he goes with it. He loves it. So I think he's going to be the kind of guy that leads that way. And I think that's the crucial part of leadership. You got to be yourself first. And I think he is who he is, and the guys love him for it. He's a genuine person. But you're right. If there's no place else to look if you're looking for the guy who's the leader of this team and whose team it is and who's the lead dog, and it's his. All his.
I saw the same play that you did on Monday's close practice, and the word I like to use that I've been using with what we kind of expect out of Josh is mattable. I just want you to be mattable. You don't have to be a jerk. You want to be a leader, but get upset every now and then. You know, you saw it for all the greats have gotten upset at their guys, but everything's all good. You know that it's not out of a place of love, and to see him react the way he did. I'd never seen him act like, and I loved it. And I think Sean McDermott liked it too, because I saw Sean McDermott kind of come by and give him a little tap on the tush as if to say, "Hey, big guy, but we're good." It looked like it was well received.
I've also seen it too. I mean, we heard there's were articles coming out of New York of the Jets that Aaron Rodgers had a lot of heated conversations with his wideouts, trying to get them on the same page. And that's, you know, that those things happen. Josh, it seems to happen behind closed doors. We don't ever see those conversations.
Yeah.
I know that they happened when Diggs was here.
Sure.
Where they had these conversations where, you know, it was more like Steph, you know, venting. But when you have conversations about what the quarterback wants from you as a wideout, wants from you as a tight end, what he wants to see out of a route, he's got to make that plain to you. And these guys seem to be getting that quick. So you know they're spending a lot of time together in a film room, and only one guy's got the remote. It's Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Josh holds the remote. That's a thing. So when he says move a week or one, the film keeps rolling, right? And when it stops and keeps going back and forth, you need to have a talk about it. So that's the kind of conversations that have. That's what quarterbacks do. And I think the leadership that Josh shows is as much behind the scenes and in situations like that as it is out on the field when he screams at the defensive coordinator for his guy getting slashed, you know.
Guys, we are thrilled to pick up your show year-round, and I've never been more thrilled, Danger, that we actually got the guys to enjoy a plate today with us.
Yeah,
the plates were good.
We know that Brownie has enjoyed many a plate from back in your SUNY Geneseo after-hours days. Steve, you look like you enjoyed yours. We know you can throw it down.
Yes, I did. I did throw it down pretty quick. It was a great one. Yeah, I appreciate it.
We are chronically fast eaters. That one,
you know,
that's a challenge, though, because there's a lot of stuff you got to put away there. but they were good.
No, yeah. They were really good. Hit the spot. Well, appreciate
for,
you guys.
No,
thanks for making time for us after the show, and safe travels back to Buffalo. We got one more day to let's do it. Let's
yeah.
go.
Yeah, man. We'll see you tomorrow.
You got it. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, stopping by the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, as we continue live from St. John Fisher University. We got a lot going on this afternoon, too, Gino.
Yeah, we've got coming up at 4 o'clock, Matt Perino will join us live on set as we'll go over today's practice, and we've got a couple more, I don't know what we want to say, minor injuries, but things we got to keep you updated on. We also had a conversation with the new center. He's not new to the position, but this is new for the Buffalo Bills. Connor McGovern will be stopping by here at the sports
book. Yeah, we will be talking to the new Bills center, Connor McGovern, here in just a couple few. We'll also hear later on this afternoon from Josh Allen, his comments to the press after today's practice. The table is set. You are in the sports bar. We are live from St. John Fisher University, Buffalo Bills training camp on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.